The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them the things that were said to her. The Gospel of the Lord. In 2006, in September of that year, I was called from the church that I've been serving in Gibsonville, North Carolina, to another church here in Lexington to be the associate pastor. Now, my wife is an elementary school teacher, and she had just started a year, and my oldest daughter was in kindergarten, and my youngest had just started a new class in preschool, and we really didn't want to move them just yet. And also, we had to sell our house, so I came on to Lexington and lived in the parsonage across the street in this unfurnished house, sleeping on an air mattress for 2 months. But then after weeks and weeks that felt like would last forever, we finally sold our house, and it was time for the rest of the family to move. And so on December the 15th, we moved into our house. On December the 15th, 10 days before Christmas. Now, I don't know if you've ever moved, but if you have, you know that there's a little bit that you got to take care of when you move into a house. You got to put all your dishes in the cabinets. You got to make sure that, your bathrooms have toilet paper, that your beds have sheets on them, well, that you have beds all set up, that the kids' rooms are up and ready to go. You've got a lot of things to worry about. And so that year, we really didn't have time to worry much about decorating for Christmas. We didn't have much time to worry about Christmas at all. And were it not for our 5-year-old constantly reminding us that Santa was coming a few days later, we probably would have forgotten it altogether. And so I think that we did put up a tree that year and maybe had a wreath out, but that's about all the decorating that we did. In addition to that, we really didn't have many connections, many friends yet. We had just moved to town. And so all of the usual Christmas parties and things like that, well, they just didn't happen for us that year. Our families were in different places already. And then on Christmas Eve, what had been usually a traditional family Christmas dinner, well, it was on Sunday that year. And I had 5 services. The only time I saw my wife and daughters was when they had come to church. So the next morning on Christmas Day, after all the presents had been unwrapped and we were sort of sitting around reflecting on everything, my wife said to me, "It doesn't really feel like it's Christmas." And as I thought about it, she was exactly right. It didn't feel like Christmas. I mean, Christmas is all about traditions and parties and food and decorations. And we had had basically none of that because of the move that we'd been in. It just didn't feel like Christmas. Now, about this time, some of you are probably at home thinking, this guy has let quarantine get to him because he's talking about Christmas and today is Easter. Well, the reason I bring this up is because there's a good chance that for most of us, today doesn't feel like Easter, does it? You know, I mean, it didn't have all of the normal traditions and trappings that Easter usually brings with it. Our Holy Week, well, if we celebrated, we celebrated it at home. And there was no sunrise service here this morning. There was no incredible breakfast that we all shared together. There's no trumpet blaring as we come into church. The pews aren't filled with people. We're not even together. The family meals that we usually share in the afternoon are probably not going to happen. And if they do, it'll be greatly decreased. It just doesn't feel like Easter. This is supposed to be a time of joy and happiness and celebration. But instead, we just feel petrified, perplexed, and pitiful. We're petrified of all the things that are going on in our world. We're petrified what this is going to do to us financially. We're petrified as to whether or not we or our loved ones are going to get this illness. We're perplexed at how long is this going to go on? Are they ever going to find a cure? This is so weird, isn't it? And let's be honest, we're pitiful, aren't we? It's just so sad and depressing, and alone. It doesn't feel like Easter. And for some people, it's even more than that. Maybe it's that you lost a loved one since the last Easter. Maybe you're worried about your job right now, too much so that it's hard to celebrate. Then again, maybe you're just spending this Easter all alone. It doesn't feel like Easter. It feels like we're petrified, perplexed, and pitiful. But the reality is, my friends, as we hear in our gospel reading, that maybe those feelings aren't that odd for Easter. Because that's exactly the type of emotions that we hear through those who witnessed the first Easter Sunday. It begins with Mary going to the tomb. And it says that Mary went there when it was still dark outside. She was petrified. She was afraid that others might see her going, that others might connect her to the criminal that had just been crucified on the cross. She was petrified of what she would find. And then when she went there, she saw that the tomb was empty. And so she runs and she goes and finds Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loves, and said, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they placed him." And so the two of them, it says that they ran to the tomb, and apparently the other disciple was faster than Peter. He got there first, but he was too scared to look in. And then when Peter came in, Peter being Peter, he goes in and he finds it exactly as it was told. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, but the tomb was empty. They were petrified. But then their fear goes from that to being perplexed. It says that they saw this and as yet they didn't understand. But then it says that the other disciple went in and he saw and believed. But now what is it that he believed? Did he believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead? Or did he just believe what Mary had said, that they had taken him away? Because look at their reaction. It says that he saw and believed, and so they went home. That's it. They went home. They returned to their homes. They had just witnessed the greatest miracle that the world had ever seen, and their reaction? They went home. I guess they were confused. They were perplexed about what they had seen. And then, standing outside of the tomb is pitiful Mary, crying. And she bends down and looks in, and she sees two angels sitting there. And they say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she says to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." And then, from behind her, Jesus talks to her and says the same thing. "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And she's so pitiful, she doesn't even realize who she's talking to. She thinks he's the gardener, the one whom she had followed, the one that she loved so dearly, the one she had come to anoint. She didn't even recognize him. She says, "Lord, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've placed him. If you've taken him away, let me know, and we'll take him." Petrified, perplexed, and pitiful. Let's be honest. It's not just this Easter that these feelings abound. I mean, aren't we the same way? I mean, when it all is said and done, we're kind of pitiful in all this too, right? I mean, we walk around as if the weight of the world is on our shoulders. As if nothing has changed. We act confused at this. And as if, well, if this is really real, what does it mean? Is it supposed to mean something in my life? And we're petrified that if it is real, what is that going to mean in my life? It's going to mean change. So maybe the actual emotions of Easter aren't joy and celebration and happiness. Maybe they really are us being petrified, perplexed, and pitiful. But dear friends, here's the reality. This day, this celebration, isn't about our feelings. It doesn't matter how Easter feels. It only matters that Jesus Christ is alive. Because no matter where we're worshiping today, Jesus Christ is still alive. No matter what's going on in this world right now, Jesus Christ is still alive. The tomb is still empty. You and I have been saved from our sin and our death. We have been given the promise of eternal life. Just listen. After Mary asked the gardener, Jesus calls her by name, says, "Mary." And then she recognizes, then she realizes what we have come here to celebrate. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. It doesn't matter how we feel. It only matters that it's real. And it is real. The tomb was empty. Because he lives, we shall live also. This is the good news of Easter. This is the great news of Easter. And this is why we can celebrate not just a day, but every day. Look, folks, I get it. Today does feel different. This isn't the Easter that we're used to having. But the reality is, Christ is still alive. It's still Easter today. And we still have reason to celebrate. I mean, the truth is, you have seen proof of the risen Christ over the past few weeks, have you not? We were talking about it this morning before worship. I mean, it seems that the focus of this celebration is so different this year. We have seen evidence of the risen Christ as people have brought food and supplies to their friends and neighbors in need. We have seen proof of the risen Christ through phone calls and letters that people have sent. We have seen proof of the risen Christ as families have been reconnecting. We've seen proof of the risen Christ as we've seen person after person, family after family, putting up crosses in their front yards to show what this day is really all about. My friends, today is a day of joy and celebration. And so I want to urge you to continue that celebration, not just today, but throughout all the Easter season, throughout your lives. Find reason to celebrate. I know it's sad. I know it's depressing. I know it's boring at home right now. But we have a reason to celebrate.
Christ is alive. The tomb was empty. You and I have been saved for eternity. And so look for those instances. Look for reasons to celebrate. Go outside and enjoy nature. See what all God has created. Look for reasons to celebrate as you spend time with your family. Look for reasons to celebrate as you witness the care and compassion of those around us, of our healthcare workers and those who put themselves at risk. Look for reasons to celebrate as you see proof of the risen Christ, as you drive by and see crosses. And if you've got one in your front yard, I urge you to leave it up, not just today, but for all 60 days of Easter. We need to see that hope. And if you don't have one in your front yard, it's not too late. Put one up. Celebrate that Christ is alive. Dear friends, this is a difficult time in our lives and in the life of the world. But through it all, we know that we have a reason to celebrate. Because God is still in control, and that was proven 2,000 years ago when that tomb was empty. Jesus Christ is alive. It's not about how we feel. It only matters that it's real. And it is real. Jesus is alive. Today is Easter. Thanks be to God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.